Welcome back. We're in conversation with Dr. Keith Wilson, Associate Scientist at the Ottawa Health Research Institute, Associate Professor of Medicine at the University of Ottawa, Psychologist at the Ottawa Hospital Rehabilitation Center, and Scientist at the Elizabeth Breer Research Institute. And Dr. Wilson, what you mentioned was very interesting at the closing of our last segment when you're talking about the factors that can contribute or even alleviate burdens of suffering and the viewpoints of the people who are going through those life-changing events, talking about depression, talking about pain control. And turning to the second study, what I wanted to ask you first is what are the implications of the results so far that you found with respect to the provision of care for palliative patients, and how does this translate into the opinions of physician-assisted suicide in the following study?
The following study was designed to look at several different aspects of the euthanasia-assisted suicide debate. First of all, we wanted to find out from patients who might actually have access to euthanasia-assisted suicide if we legalize these things, what are their opinions, and what are the factors that would motivate them to make a request. So we're talking to people who are nearing the ends of their lives from cancer. So the first question about the social policy issues was just basically asking patients, here's a definition of euthanasia, here's a definition of physician-assisted suicide. In your opinion, do you think these things should be legalized? And we found that actually 63% of them were in favor of legalization because they feel that patients have a right to choose, so the sense of autonomy, particularly in cases where patients might be suffering, so the suffering question comes into it. And in those kinds of scenarios, they feel like it's a compassionate act. Of the people who are against legalization, they're more likely to cite religious concerns and moral concerns and concerns about abuse and frankly, having worries about the stress that it would cause for physicians to participate in those actions. Now, interestingly enough, 60% or 63% in favor of legalization is probably about the same as we would find in surveys of the general public. So I'm not so sure that their views of social policy opinions are necessarily that different than the general public. Then we asked them, could you imagine any scenario in the future where you might personally ask for euthanasia-assisted suicide? And we were a bit surprised to see that a lot of them said yes. 40% said yes, I could imagine a future case where I could might ask for those things. And when we said, well, what would the scenario be? Typically, they said it would be a scenario of uncontrollable pain. Mm-hmm. If I was in a situation where they couldn't control my pain, I could see myself being driven to ask for assisted suicide. So we were really interested to know, is this issue really about uncontrollable pain? So the next question we asked was, if it was available to you today, do you think you might make a request for assisted suicide now? And in that case, we found only 22 people out of the entire sample who said, yes, I would ask for it today. And interestingly enough, they didn't have a worse experience of pain than the other patients who said they would not ask for an assisted suicide. They were less religious, they felt weaker, they had a reduced functional status, they felt more sick, they were more likely to be depressed, and interestingly enough, they felt that they had become a burden to their family members. So again, the link between these two studies is that these are complex, multidimensional issues that involve social and cultural and religious aspects, as well as a mental health dimension, as well as physical symptom management, but it's not necessarily about pain.
And was survival time or the perception of how much longer they had to live a factor in that decision-making process as well?
We wanted to know about that because if someone was closer to the end of their life, then perhaps they would be more likely to request an assisted suicide. But we didn't find any difference in survival time between the 22 people who would have asked for one and the rest of the people who would not have asked for one. We also had one other interesting question. We asked, at any point to date in the illness in your illness, do you think you might have asked in the past for an assisted suicide? And in that case, we found about 10% of the people who said, yes, I would have asked for it a few months ago, but not today. So that they're interesting because they're people who, in effect, change their minds about suicide. And that's important to know because if we had provided people with an assisted suicide the first time they asked, then you take away their opportunity to change their minds. So we wanted to know what factors go into changing your mind about suicide. And in those cases, it tended to be that they had some kind of physical crisis, some kind of pain crisis that took a while to get under control, but once it did come under control, it was the desire to die went away. It's an important thing to know, because in a country like Canada, not every patient has access to palliative care services and good pain management services. So you can imagine people out in rural areas where there's not necessarily well-trained physicians in pain management and patients having pain crises that nobody in the community knows how to manage. You can imagine the implications for assisted suicide in those conditions.
In some ways, paradoxically, what these two studies have done is helped define what it was looking for in the first place in terms of burden of suffering. Here you have, as you've mentioned, patients who may have a better opportunity to deal with the specific issues that would cause them or lead them to make a decision, if uncorrected, for physician-assisted suicide, and if treated and dealt with in a timely manner and in a manner that alleviated a lot of their suffering, they wouldn't be opting for physician-assisted suicide. And yet, if you're in a community, as you mentioned, where that wasn't available, the idea that someone would want physician-assisted suicide is surely a marker of tremendous stress on that person.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think that these decisions would also always involve a certain amount of stress. So, it's a complicated thing, because some patients may be driven because of poor palliative care or lack of palliative care to make an assisted suicide request. But again, there's those 22 people that we did find who were receiving palliative care, and yet they seem to have a consistent wish for their lives to be over. So it's a difficult and complicated issue.
Were there other findings in this particular study that you would consider fundamental to understand the factors that influence the decision? I know you've mentioned a lot of them. Are there any others that you believe our listeners should be aware of when either talking to a loved one who has end-stage cancer, or they themselves are suffering from cancer, things that would become much more relevant to them in those situations?
Yes, you have to ask yourself, what are they really asking for if they make a statement about euthanasia or assisted suicide? For some people, it may be they're making a statement about, I'm uncomfortable and can anything be done to increase my comfort level. Other people may be expressing a fear. For example, when we talk to those people about, can you imagine a worst-case scenario where you would have an assisted suicide in the future, and a lot of people said yes, the reason why they were saying yes was largely because they have a fear of uncontrollable pain and a concern of what might come. So the reassurance of what kind of care can be taken to provide them with comfort in the event that things do get worse down the line is important.
And with regards to that, what works very well in our palliative care system today? And from this study and from your clinical experience, what improvements do you believe are required to give people at this stage of their lives what they need in order to be comfortable and as well not live with that fear that you mentioned of having uncontrollable pain?
Well, they need the reassurance about what system is going to have in place for them as they approach the ends of their lives. They want to know that there's not going to be an unnecessary prolongation of life without a chance of recovery, for example, with invasive technologies to keep them alive and a sense that they're lingering. They want to know that their pain and symptoms are going to be managed well. They want to have a close relationship with their physicians and other healthcare providers and be provided with accurate information in a caring and thoughtful way. They want to make sure that their family members are not going to become too strained and overburdened. And they want to be prepared to reach the ends of their lives, knowing that there's a certain concern for their security, both from a physical perspective and also from a spiritual and psychological perspective.
And Dr. Wilson, finally, is there a website or a place for our listeners to get information about the Canadian National Palliative Care Survey and look at this more in depth if they wish to?
They could get the papers from the journal sites. The Journal of Clinical Oncology has published the paper on suffering, and the paper on assisted suicide is published in Health Psychology. If they're looking for information about these general issues, there is a Canadian virtual hospice that is a wonderful website for issues in palliative care that is accessible to members of the general public, and they even have a service where people can write in and have a palliative care physician answer some of their questions.
Well, Dr. Wilson, I truly appreciate the time you've given us to talk about these issues. I think this will resonate with a lot of our listeners. This is, unfortunately, a very common situation for many people in Canada who are suffering with cancer, and I really appreciate the time you've given us.
Well, thank you very much for the interest.
All the best.
And to you.